Today's scripture reading is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, and chapter 20, verse 7. But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
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 Well, hi, everyone. My name is Mindy Moore, and I am the pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown, and we are so excited to be with you today on Youth Sunday, on the first Sunday in Lent. It's a good day to be together. And, you know, during Lent this year, as you've heard, we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. I mean, I feel like it's been a very strong theme today. You can pick that up. But as you came in today, you may have gotten this sheet from one of our ushers, but they might have missed you. So if you didn't get a sheet that says background on the Lord's Prayer, I want to encourage you to pick one up as you leave today. This just has a lot of helpful history about it, some context. If you've been here while, you know, Pastor Mindy loves some context about our scripture. It is my favorite thing. So make sure to pick one of these up. It will just teach you a little bit more than I'm even going to tell you today in the message. But we kicked off Lent with Ash Wednesday. So I know some of you were with us, some of you couldn't make it. But as we kicked things off, we really looked at the context of this prayer. Like, where did it come from? Why does Jesus talk about it? We're primarily going to look at the prayer in Matthew 6 during this series. And so as we look at that, we see that Jesus brought this prayer to people during a teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I think that's pretty cool because that means that Jesus was like out in public with a bunch of random people talking in the language of the people saying, "Hey, prayer is for you. Prayer is for each and every one of you." Because I think sometimes we hear this prayer or we pray this prayer, and either we're very unfamiliar with it, and it feels like liturgy. It feels like, okay, how does everyone know the same words to say at the same time? Or we're so familiar with it that we can just be on autopilot. We just say the words, and we don't even hear the words that we're saying. So my hope for us this Lent, as we go almost line by line through this prayer for like a month and a half, we're going to look at this prayer and scripture that really gives it some depth and stands behind it. As we do that, my hope for you is that you'll learn something new, that maybe you'll ask some different questions, that maybe you'll see how God can speak to your life through this ancient and familiar prayer. So on Wednesday, we looked at the first line of this prayer, which is, "Our Father who art in heaven." Today we're going to add in the second line, which is, "Hallowed be thy name." Now, when we talk about this word hallowed, that is not a descriptor that most of us use. I do not walk around calling a lot of things hallowed in my life. Like, that feels very formal language. It feels a little bit unfamiliar to us. But I think what's interesting as you look at this prayer is that a lot of scholars say, actually, if we were going to translate this in the most accurate way possible, it would actually probably say, "God, make your name holy." Now, I think when we put it like that, that just brings up some questions for me, and maybe it brings up some questions for you too. Like, okay, well, what is God's name? What do we mean when we say holy? What does it mean for God to do whatever God would have to do to make that name be this holy thing? But I have to tell you that as I was studying for this message, I was getting a little tripped up on the word holy. Like I was feeling some weird resistance to it. And honestly, I've been in therapy long enough that I know if you feel that resistance, if you start to feel like this, you should probably pay attention because something is going on. So I got curious about that. I was like, what is it about that word holy that feels kind of challenging for me to engage in? And as I thought back over my faith story, as I thought back over my life, I realized that word holy, depending on your theological background or maybe some of the church experiences you've had, that word can be a little tricky. And as I went back in my brain, I landed at youth group. And for me, at youth group, that word holy, that discussion that went with it, it brought a lot of shame. It brought a lot of fear. It wasn't an uplifting talk. It wasn't an invitation. A lot of the times that talk about holiness was linked with purity. And if you grew up like in the 2000s, you know that that was the narrative of certain churches at the time. And so I started digging into that. And I realized as we talked about that in my upbringing, a lot of times the core message was God is holy, but you absolutely are not. And I thought about all of the well-meaning illustrations that people tried to use to make that point. I mean, I've seen like markers on a white t-shirt that gets dipped in bleach and the color comes out like, oh, Jesus did something. I've seen like paint be put on a volleyball and we rinse it off. Again, if you were in youth group in the 2000s, you might also have your favorite illustration that goes along with that. But I thought about those things and I realized that no matter how hard people tried to color this, what it came down to was this idea that we wouldn't be good enough and that our God was someone to be afraid of, someone who was unapproachable. There wasn't this invitation, there was this barrier. As I think about holiness today, I don't think that's what this is supposed to evoke in us. I don't think that's what this prayer is about or this passage in Exodus is about. I actually think when we talk about the holiness of God's name, what we're getting is a glimpse of who God is for sure, but we also get a glimpse of what God wants for us, of who God thinks we can be, of what God hopes this world can be. And maybe this conversation isn't as much about our own deficit, but maybe it's about God's abundance. Maybe it's about the goodness that comes out of God and overflows into God's people and into this world. I actually wonder if holiness, when we get down to it, if holiness is the thing that can kind of keep us on track. You know, I think about all of the things in our lives that we can aspire to. There are goals to meet. There are ways we can build our lives. There are successes to be had, and these are good things, but sometimes they can get distracting. Sometimes we can forget who we are. We can forget what God wants for us. We can just find ourselves a little bit out of alignment. So maybe holiness gives us a clearer picture of who God is and what this world can look like. You know, throughout the Bible, God is constantly trying to help people understand these things. God's constantly trying to help people understand who God is, what God looks like, and what that means for people. And we see that in this story that we read out of Exodus, the story of God and Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, when God and Moses are having this conversation, honestly, God asks Moses to do something that feels incredibly absurd. God looks at Moses and says, Moses, I have seen your struggle. I've heard your people. I know your people are enslaved. They are desperate. They want a change. And Moses, guess what? You're going to do it. You're going to change things. And Moses is like, I'm sorry, what? Like, let's talk more, God, because Moses does not think he's the man for the job. He's not looking for this job. God finds him. And so Moses has some skepticism about this. He doesn't know how it could be him. He doesn't even know what to tell people. And so he says to God, God, I'm going to need you to back me up. If I'm going to go to Pharaoh, if I'm going to go to the people, if I'm going to say, hey, Pharaoh, God told me that you should let us all go. Like, how do you think that's going to go over? He's like, God, I need to know your name. I need to know your authority. I need to know that this is legit before I put myself out on the line like that. And so what God says back to Moses is God says, tell them my name is Yahweh, which means I am who I am. I am who I am. You know, on the surface, this feels very cryptic to me. Like God is almost speaking in code here. You know, it's like I always learned in English class that you weren't supposed to define a word with the word. This is what it feels like God is doing. I am who I am. What does that mean? But I think what God is saying here to Moses is, Moses, you're living in a story. You've heard all of these things that I've done. That's who I am. I will be who I will be. I will show up. I will be consistent. My holiness isn't going to ebb and flow. It's not going to run away because times are about to get really hard for you and your people, even harder than you can imagine. God tells Moses that God's not going to let them down as they get ready to go on this risky journey. It's almost like God is saying to Moses, Moses, I am who I am, and I'm going to be there for you how I'm going to be there for you. I think it's really easy when we talk about God and this concept of holiness to just be like, yes, of course, God is holy. I mean, that is one of the things in this message that you will see feels like the right church answer to give. God is holy. I think Moses would have even said that before this interaction. But the thing that changes with this conversation between God and Moses is it goes from being really philosophical, like in Moses' head, I know some stuff about God, to being really practical. When God shares God's name with Moses, God is saying, I am holy, and Moses, I'm going to prove it to you every step of the way. Like, these are not just words I'm saying to you. This is who I am. And every single part of me, the way that I love you, the way I show up for you, the way I tell you you can trust me, all of that points back to the fact that I'm holy. I am who I say that I am. And so as we think about our own lives and our relationship with God, I think this raises some questions about how we find our own selves depending on God. I think it raises questions about what role we let God play in our lives. It feels like there's kind of two ways that we can let ourselves relate to God. We can put ourselves in the center, and we can kind of let God casually orbit around us. We can use God like an accessory and say, I really need you right now, so I'm going to pull you in. And then we can set God aside when we think we don't need God. I mean, that is one way we can live. A different way we can live is we can say, God, you're at the center, and everything I do is constantly drawing me toward you, to be more like you, to live like you, to worship you. Now, again, as we sit in this church on a Sunday morning at 11:39 a.m., we know the right answer, don't we? Yes. All of you would say we should put God at the center because that is our good church people way to be. But I don't know about you, like, by 2 o'clock, I'm going to be out of this building, and I'm going to be in the real world, and the real world is not that simple. I think the real world actually gives us a lot of conditions where we don't put God at the center, not because we're bad people, not because we don't want to do it, just because, like, there's a lot of things that distract us. There's a lot of reasons we can forget We can forget that this message God had for Moses, that you can trust me, you can know me, you can follow me. We forget that that message is for us too. We can forget that we actually get to live out this idea of holiness in our real world. You know, I think part of the challenge here is that there's a very real difference between knowing a lot of stuff about what it means to be holy and actually living into this call of holiness. It makes me think back to when I was in driver's ed in high school. So when I took driver's ed, it was like a two-part situation. So the first part was the classroom part, and then you had the part where you were on the road. You guys, the classroom part was awesome. Like, I was with my friends. It was at my school. You could bring a snack. There was a video. I mean, it was great. It was the summer. We were hanging out. Like, you just had to pay attention enough that you could pass the test. It was great. But then you had to get in the car, and they put you on 465, and if you're me, that's when the panic started, okay? Because now you're here, and you've got this instructor telling you what to do, and you're trying to merge, and you're like white-knuckled on the steering wheel, and everything you just learned, like, almost hardly does not matter. Sorry, teenagers going through driver's ed, your parents are not happy with me right now, but no one else is following the rules that you just learned. And so you're like, wait, I thought you were supposed to do this and use your turn signal, but you're not doing any of those things and you're going very fast. And what do I do? And so when you're there, you're behind the wheel of the car, you realize just knowing a bunch of stuff about driving isn't going to get you anywhere. You have to move from being someone who knows about driving to someone who actually drives. It's a key difference. And I think in our faith, Jesus wants us to be more than people that just know some stuff about God and know that God is holy. Jesus wants us to live like it's true. Jesus wants us to live in a way that shows this holiness to the world. You know, when Leah read our scripture today, the second piece of that scripture that she read was from the Ten Commandments. And I think in some ways you could say that this part of the Lord's Prayer we're looking at today, it's almost like a counter to that commandment that says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. I think there's a lot of ways we can interpret that part of the Ten Commandments. Most of us go to, well, don't use God's name flippantly. Don't use God's name as a curse. But I just wonder, as we talk about the name of God, as we look at the character of God, as we look at the holiness of God, maybe this commandment's a little more nuanced than that. Maybe this commandment is actually telling us, do not call into question the character of God. Do not live in a way that calls into question the character of God. What I think is tricky for people of faith right now, especially those of you that use the word Christian to describe yourself, is we see a lot of God's character being called into question. And a lot of the times it happens right inside the church. A lot of the times it happens by people who are leading the church. I mean, I don't know that I've had a week recently that's gone by without seeing some story of a church leader that has done something illegal or just like super offensive that I feel very cringy and terrible about. And when you see those things, the character of God is absolutely called into question. I mean, we see people who say, I'm leaving the church. Or at worst, I'm leaving my faith because of this thing that someone did. I think as a pastor, I watch those stories, and I just feel kind of helpless. Because I want to say it doesn't have to be that way, but I also know that a lot of the times it is. And so that puts us in a really challenging place to live out our faith. It can have us asking questions like, God, you say that you are who you are. You say you'll show up the way that you'll show up, and yet this is what our world looks like. Like, what do we do about that? What does it actually mean for you to be holy, for you to make your name holy, and for us to live in that holiness too? I wonder if one thing we can do is to seriously start with this prayer. Not in like a platitude way, like, oh, we should pray about it, but like to really seriously dig into what this prayer says. Adam Hamilton has a book on the Lord's Prayer, and here's what he says. He says, when we pray for God to hallow God's name, we're praying, may your name be hallowed in and through us, in our lives, in our words, in our thoughts, and our actions. Basically, may we help show the holiness of God's name to the world around us. Can we live in a way that does that? I think that this can happen in a lot of the everyday pieces of our lives. Like, I'm not asking you to do something huge and dramatic this morning. And when I was thinking of someone who I think shows God's holiness, I started thinking about the fact that my son just finished playing basketball at Tab Recreation. There's a picture of his team. He is running over to the side, not near the ball. It's great. So, look, friends, he's in first grade. First grade basketball, it is a chaotic experience. It just is. I mean, he plays soccer. I thought first grade soccer was chaotic, and then basketball showed up and was like, no, let me show you how this goes. And so, like, these kids, they are so excited to be there. They really don't know what they're doing. They will someday, but right now is not that day. And so they are running. They're jumping. I mean, my favorite moment of the season, I think, was when this one kid on the team, he's dribbling the ball, and it was just taking a long time. I mean, I get it. It takes a long time. And so he said, I'm done with this, picked up the ball like a football, and just ran to the goal. I was like, that is my kind of basketball. Let's speed this up. It's great. So we watched this for a whole season. But I was also watching someone else during that time. I was watching this one ref. Now, this guy is on my prayer list because I think reffing first grade basketball, I don't have the patience for that endeavor, but he did. He did. And he would always, I mean, he'd have his whistle. He would call them out. He would say, like, hey, you just like ran half the court holding the ball. That's not how we play basketball. But this is what I'd watch him do. Every time he called someone for traveling, double dribbling, a foul, whatever, he would pull them aside and explain how to do it right. Every single time. And I mean, some of these kids, he did it like 5 times in 3 minutes, okay? But over and over, not the coach. It was the ref. And I just watched him as he talked to these kids who were so excited to be there, who had no idea what they were doing. He did it with kindness and patience and gentleness. And I thought, you are showing these kids what God is like through the way you're talking to them. You're showing these kids that they matter, that they're valued, that they're important. That is what living out this holiness can look like. Again, he didn't have to go somewhere random. He didn't have to like do something big. He was just showing up where he was in his Saturday job, probably making a few extra bucks, hanging out with these kids. But he was showing them the character of God. I think we need these glimpses of God's goodness, of God's holiness, of God's heart, because it's just so easy to see the stuff that breaks our hearts. It's easy to see the brokenness of the world. It's easy to see the stuff that is not how it should be. We need to see that stuff. But I think we need to believe that something better is possible. And I think we need to believe that we can create that better thing, that God calls us to do this. Because I think I say this a lot, but we can't fix everything. But we can tell a better story where we are. That is something that God has called us to do. I think that is something that God will keep calling us to do again and again. And we get to say that this God of Moses, that the God that Jesus talks about that says, God, make your name holy, that same God is still at work. That same God is still at work in us and through us. That same God is still holy. That same God is still worth worshiping. And that's how we get to pray. That's how we get to live. Will you pray with me as our band comes back up? God, make your name holy. It feels like a big prayer. It feels like a big ask. And yet, God, as we pray big prayers like that, as we trust that you are a God who shows up in ways that are big and small, God, we also pray that we would see ourselves in that work, that we would remember who you are, that we would remember whose we are, that we would remember that we are people called to show your holiness to this world. God, thank you for these places that you are inviting us, that you're challenging us, that you're leading us. God, we pray that we would follow.